Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking with Kevin and Benny from JoyCamp, having a really interesting conversation about their work, about the future direction of not only comedy, of course, but also bringing this conspiracy field into a more, I guess, palatable form, something there where you can begin to approach people that wouldn't normally kind of listen to any of this kind of stuff. But my God, there's so many different topics, so many different angles within this stuff, and just learning and discovering the truth is such a monumental task in itself. But let's just kind of pick up where we left off, guys. I wanted to ask you actually a bit more about something like, you know, the greatest story never told. I mean, personally, I think a lot of our history today and kind of where we are in the world really hinges on World War II and that the post-war period, which is so incredibly important for how, you know, everything has played out consequently. And that's why I think it's such an important topic that deserves, we deserve to examine it for, well, not only because of the truth itself, but even for the people that have died, for the millions of people that have, you know, sacrificed themselves, even if it was because they were fooled or because they really believed what they did, what have you. It's been such a massive, you know, slaughter. But by someone who has been programmed by all the Hollywood movies out there, I mean, again, it's what you guys said. It's just so monumental. This is stuff that's gone way deep into the psyche. It goes back to movies that, you know, we saw when we were 5 years old, 10 years old, you know, 15 years old. It's been with us all that time. We know this now. And therefore, instinctually, this is a topic where people do not question it because they already know what happened. There's no reason to look at this kind of stuff. Is there any way this kind of material could be approached with comedy, do you guys think? I mean, it's so difficult and it's so emotional. There's so much, you know, kind of weaved up into it that it's almost an impossible conundrum. It's like a knot, you know, that we have to just break through. Any thoughts, guys?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely say it's not impossible. I mean, any subject can be made fun of and should be made fun of, for that matter.
Right.
We haven't necessarily found the best approach with it yet. Although, when we were going through, because I was very active in posting on the JoyCamp fan page on Facebook during like the initial onslaught of Gaza about a month ago, and got into several arguments with people after they accused us and me of being anti-Semitic. And I think that there's a joke in there somewhere about saying like the mildest thing, or just pointing out something like very meekly, or something like saying something, some minor criticism of Israel or something. And
you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah, I joke about the word anti-Semitic or right. anti-Semitism. There's something right. in there, the knee-jerk reaction, the programming. That's the only thing that's come to my mind so far. But even that doesn't take on Hitler. I said that word. I said the word name Hitler, and you both laughed. So yeah. I think there's something there. I mean, Hitler, and let's face it, like Hitler gets made fun of all the time.
Right.
I mean, he's a constant joke. Yeah. So to sort of turn that on its head, yeah, it's definitely doable. In fact, now I feel challenged.
Me too.
We're gonna do.
Now I'm thinking like, okay.
Yeah. I did kind of want to push you guys there a little bit too. That's why. the challenge, you know.
Well played.
Well, just be honest about this, though. We need to dare to tread into the darkness, into the seedy underbelly of the beast, and just, you know, shine a light there and see what the hell is going on, because it's important, you know, and the truth is important. And I think we deserve that. And we need to, you know, begin to kind of unravel all the things that have occurred consequently and really get into it. But, I mean, there's so many things we could talk about in terms of how Hollywood has treated this subject and you know, Spielberg in particular and everything else and all that. And this kind of ties into the documentary world a little bit as well, of what they've done and everything there. So it's an unbreakable barrier, really, to reach through in people. When you guys have, if you've shared that documentary with someone else, if you did that, were there people kind of fighting you on that or just refused to even like maybe look at it or something like that?
You know, with that particular documentary, I think we were both particularly careful with who we showed it to. Only the people that I really thought would gain some or really watch it, frankly.
Right.
So I think I've only suggested it to a handful of people so far. And the people that I have suggested it to,
same reaction.
Yeah, the same reaction as us. I mean, their minds were blown, and there are, you know, they are sharing with other people. So it's, yeah, it's been it's been a successful share in limited amounts.
Right.
We're batting 100.
Batting 1,000.
Batting 1,000.
100 is a bad batting average.
See, he's the baseball guy. I don't really know much about it, so I won't use any more baseball metaphors for the rest of this show.
Batting 100, you'll never make it.
Yeah, no, it's, we constantly, struggle with that self-censorship and fear and the kind of things we dare to talk about or in what way, because we know it's going to be offensive to people or whatnot. But it's, I think it's increasingly important that we kind of just try to truck on through there and really dare to do those things and dare to go there for the sake of where things is going. It feels like if people don't speak up about this kind of stuff, it will just go on and it will just spiral out of control. I mean, look at the world we're in right now. It's just, we couldn't be further away from, what's authentic and what's true. And it's just a downward spiral. I feel really frustrated when I think about it,
Yeah. Silence would be our ultimate demise, I think. Right. And it's like I said earlier, you're being complicit if you're staying silent. So you have to find a way to get people talking about it. And if people, turned on to that idea, then there would be no other concept and idea that would be scary to them, I think. But maybe that's why that one's such a big mountain right now. And maybe we have to keep talking about it. But if
you look at it in the context of history and time, I mean, this is only 70 some years ago. Mm. This is not that long ago. And we've already figured it out. Mm. Like, that's amazing. We're growing up learning about it. It feels ancient. I mean, it's always felt like it was this sort of a monumental bullet point in history. This is when everything changed, when Hitler came along.
Right.
And this was this ruthless maniac who killed all the Jews and wanted to kill everybody. And it was only a couple decades ago. And we've already gotten over our conditioning about it. Like, we've already brushed it off. It's like, we've cleansed ourselves from that brainwashing. And if we can do it, I think that it can definitely happen, especially in this short amount of time. I mean, 2 years ago, I didn't know anything about this. And now I'm wide awake. So,
yeah.
I think that we're really on the right track.
It's kind of a lot of layers to this, isn't there? There's always something new to discover, always something new that you realize you've been kind of, conditioned in different layers, even within the alternative itself to a certain extent, whether that's, conscious or not, that could be argued or debated. But nonetheless, there's always more to discover, always more to find out the deeper into things you go. And that's pretty exciting. It means that it's like there's always more to find out, always more to cover, always more to talk about,
And it always seems to come back to aliens.
Yeah.
Right.
Put out rabbit holes about, who's controlling what and who's doing this and what's happened and what's really going on. But then there's always like, well, there's also all these extraterrestrial, hyperdimensional type aspect to it, which can't be denied and can't be ignored.
Yeah, you get to a certain point where the questions cannot be answered, and the only remote possibility is something supernatural. And we both really enjoyed the John Lash interview you had with him a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for a genuine listening, to go back and listen to that one if they missed it, about archons. And we actually, I think it sort of inspired our most recent video, which, like I said, should be up on our channel pretty soon.
The topic of all topics.
Well, that's good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. I'm glad we can, awake some creativity there. And there's just, so much more to discover there and so much more to kind of get into. But it's, these are daring topics, but I think it's really important that we have to continue to press on through and continue to talk about it, because there's no other way about it. We talked about that over email as well, in terms of how important it is to just, not fear that initial kind of response that one get when you go into it, or when you are, about to publish something. Or, I mean, I think that's the greatest problem of all, really, self-censorship of daring to do it. And I meet a lot of people who are, they're in that position. They would like to talk about this, or like to do that, but they don't really, because they can't really cope, because they're so accustomed to, or rather, they don't want to have any kind of hostility or resistance kind of put up against them. And that's, we're so controlled by those fundamental issues, and that's something we have to overcome. And it's really difficult.
And it's amazing too, because, I can sit here today and say, I'm researched enough to be aware that fear is a result of a lifetime of conditioning. a lifetime of conditioning in the society within which we live. But yet the fear still finds its way and creeps its way in moments, and you still have to deal with it and figure out how to move past it. So it's a very powerful force that, you know, we're up against.
Gosh, you know, it's interesting to talk about like personal fear. I find recently, like just really paying attention to myself and being self-aware, if a topic comes up in conversation that I'm keen on, like these kind of topics or truth topics or, you know, having larger discussions, I'm much more comfortable. But I find these little fear things coming in when I don't know how to talk to somebody. Like I'm trying to like make small talk or something, and I start getting into those old patterns of self-consciousness or worried about what I'm going to say, or worried about what they're going to think. And that's an interesting thing to keep aware of for myself, like being aware that I still have social anxiety sometimes when I'm not talking about things that are, you know, dealing with the bigger picture.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny because we share these fears with everyone, you know, unless you're a psychopath. This is something that's universal amongst us, and yet we still have it. We are afraid of what people think of us. And everybody sort of feels that. So
it's deep conditioning.
It's some really deep conditioning, and it's really hard to, I'd be lying if I said that I figured it out and I know I don't have that fear anymore, because it's still a everyday constant battle. But that's why I think getting better at communicating with people and building that community, having that common unity amongst your neighbors is so quintessential.
And doing that self work. You know, what we're doing actively as activists is bringing the shadow to light on a larger scale, as far as the reality, our reality is concerned, and how history has gone down. But we also have to bring that shadow part of ourselves out. Be willing to face the darkness within ourselves, so we can conquer those little fears, so we can heal ourselves, so that we are more open to everything else.
Right, because how could we possibly heal the world if we hadn't healed ourselves first? And that's when you can do that, it helps you, you know. This process we've been through for the last couple of years of making these videos and getting better at our craft, it was, you know, taking what we were talented at, thankfully it's art, because art is probably the most powerful tool that we have going for us.
Yeah.
And combining it with knowledge and truth, and it's beyond knowledge is power. It's what you do with knowledge that's power, right? So the last couple of years, I've gotten so much better, and we've always been good at talking to people. We've always sort of just been good at whatever walk of life they come from. You know, Benny and myself have always been very good at that. But the truth subjects and trying to relay perspectives to other people that don't see things the way that you do, which is good. 7 billion people on this planet, perhaps everybody is entitled to their own perspective. But the point is I've gotten so much better at communicating with people through the practice of this art and this talent and, you know, healing myself. There was times when, you know, I've had a girlfriend for a very long time, and there was moments years ago where I have this memory of sitting in a bar down the street with her having a beer and and telling her, listen to me, there are aliens on the moon, you know, and it's freaking her out, and then we're just going back and forth, and I'm drinking more, and the conversation's going in all the wrong places. And you know, thankfully, having someone like her in my life, and like Benny, and you know, my other friends, I've been able to figure out how to communicate with people, how to not just pull out the bullhorn and scream at them from across the street, how to hear their perspective and listen to them, and be able to find the right moment to slip in, you know, what it is that you want to convey or what it is that you might want them to think about differently for a change. And those moments present themselves with everybody, because we're all humans and we all long to connect. And it's a matter of having the etiquette and figuring out when that right moment is, and just speaking with people from, you know, one human to another. And I think the better that people get at that, the more likely we are to unite with each other. So you said a long time ago, it's very tricky, slippery slope about how do we bring people together. Well, I think that's one of the crucial ingredients into this recipe here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the early days, I guess when when you begin to get into a lot of this information. I think we've all been there, you know, kind of telling everyone else what the score is about A or B or C or whatever. And it becomes, in the early stage, it's more important to kind of convince others really of it than it is to kind of process the information right. oneself, you know, because it's like, if they believe it, then I can begin to kind of process it maybe. So that's kind of a big part of it, of course. And I think you're right. I think the more you kind of just, it permeates, the more the information kind of permeates, you think about it, you absorb it, you bring it into practice, it tends to get less, well, not that there aren't things that occur that are shocking along the way, as we just talked about, but nonetheless, the basic kind of fundamental core that we've, for example, been lied to all our lives, that's something that kind of, that when that settles a little bit, it becomes a little bit easier. And I think you're right, though, Kevin. I mean, using propaganda is, in a good way, in a positive sense of using the art, using music, using filmmaking, storytelling, even writing books or novels or what have you, that more people just need to be absorbed and involved in that kind of process and using the righteousness of truth on their side of actively trying to bring that into it. Because the culture, again, I come back to that point, you know, the culture is so important in how it drives people, how they live their lives. It isn't really the big things, it's the smaller things that makes people live their life in a certain way and their decisions and everything else. So I mean, how could this be expanded further into the mainstream? At the same time, we don't want to go mainstream. That's the more difficult aspect of this. I mean, there has to be, are you guys aware of more people like yourself that are doing this kind of work and trying to kind of insert, you know, kind of good topics and material into the mainstream to a certain extent? Are you guys aware of others doing this?
I think so. Well, I think everybody's got an itch. Everybody feels like they're getting screwed in some way. And I think that, I mean, what I try to do with JoyCamp and also my personal life is just to exploit that itch so that they can start seeing that that itch is connected to something much bigger. And a lot of people are making comments and videos or what have you regarding these subjects that are a little more mainstream, that people all can sort of unite about, like NSA or TSA or GMOs. And I think those are ways in. So you can see a lot of people doing, commenting on those things, because nobody, for the most part, people don't like those aspects. And to sort of use those as ways in, I mean, those are, when we took on TSA and the iPhone NSA, I mean, those are some of our most popular videos because everybody can relate. Everybody is like, yeah, screw the TSA. NSA spying on us. So to use those as the way in, okay, so you can say, okay, yes, we're all in agreement, right? We don't like the NSA spying on us. Okay, well, let's take it one step further and look at, you know, point B and point C. So using those as like the springboards, the more mainstream conspiracies, so to speak.
It doesn't have to be just comedy videos. It's everything. It's in particular art, because it is such a universal force that we have working with us. There's nobody can really. I mean, even though they try to suppress it in school and or indoctrination systems, whatever you want to call it, art has existed since the beginning of time. And I feel like it's through like the art that we do, I've helped wake up more people through that than I ever would in any other facet of my life, probably. So if people can do it through song or through, you know, podcast or memes or photography or what have you, it's so powerful. So it's like finding what you're really good at, what you have skills at. And if you have a skill in something artistic and you're also a truth seeker, then figure out a way to blend those two together, and I'm telling you, it'll work wonders.
Yeah, very, very good. Well said. Now, I believe as well that the more they suppress issues and kind of keep the lid on, the higher that pressure will become. And eventually it's just something that will explode. The time is going to be ripe when, you know, the truth for whatever topic it is concerning is going to get out. It's what you said as well, Benny. People are kind of, they're inherently suspicious now. They know that things are off. They know it's not quite right. So the time, the opportunity is very ripe for this, and that's of course when you also have to watch so there's not a lot of other kind of sidetracking issues that comes into it. For example, we've seen kind of, you know, mainstream channels and media and things like that starting to set up things online because they know that that's where the momentum and they're trying to get on that wave and surf it, but at the same time kind of still keep it in the mainstream, stream it into that that fold, you know, and that's why it's so important, why we need so many more people doing this kind of stuff, even if it's, you know, analyzing their propaganda in movies or making their own or what have you, because it's like this technology is becoming cheaper and cheaper. You can do some extraordinary things even with, you know, fairly low key, you know, if you get the right graphic stuff on, you know, on your computer and whatnot. It's so it's really accessible, and it's really the ideas at the end of the day that count. Look at Hollywood again. They're pouring millions into these movies, if not even billions, if we look at it over, you know, a period of a few years or whatnot, or even a year. But at the same time, they're bankrupt. I mean, the stories in there are so bad, and the writing, I mean, oh my God, I can't even watch it anymore. And they're trying to maximize it. They put, you know, there's like no room for space in there anymore. The music is like super loud and, you know, pumping all the time. It's like really high action, you know, and it's like it gets too busy. And I think people, it gets saturated after a while. So something different, I think it would go down real well and be welcomed, actually.
Yeah, I think people are hungry for it. And we get the sense of that when we do our videos. And not to reference Patton Oswalt again, but I'm going to. He said at the Toronto Just for Laughs conference that he pulled out his iPhone and he held it in his hand. And he said, "In my hand, I'm holding more technology than Orson Welles had when he made Citizen Kane." And there's something really profound in that statement. And it gives you the encouragement to know that you don't have to have millions of dollars to make something that will affect other people. You know, had we, it'd be great because we could do something on such a larger scale, but we don't. So you have to get really creative and clever with what you have, with the tools that you have in the system that you live in. How can you make a mark and make some significant change? And it takes a lot of thinking and a lot of work, but it's not impossible by any stretch of the means. And hopefully, like you said, Henrik, we'll be seeing more and more of it. Hopefully more. I think there are already people in mainstream that do every now and then there's a show or there's a movie that comes out that that gets something across. And certainly if anybody's ever watched Stanley Kubrick movies, boy, oh boy, you could have a field day with those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are, you know, channels online that beginning to pop up and stuff like that. That's good. It's encouraged. It needs to get there. It needs to be more. It needs to be faster. And I've just really come to realize it's kind of dawned on me that it's not really about all the information per se. At the end of the day, it's about the, you know, the storytelling, really, that kind of stuff that involves people emotionally. That's what's so important. I think that's one of the reasons why some, you know, films and everything else are they reach through in a different kind of way, because it does resonate with emotion. And my God, doesn't Hollywood use that against us, you know, in terms of how they're manipulating us and everything else. So I think it's important to kind of watch to a certain extent, what did they do and how does that work and how does it work on people? All right, why not? We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's look at it for what it is and let's kind of use that and take it and bring it into the next level and do something good with it, you know?
Yeah, take it back. I mean, my gosh, what did John Lash said something about that, how when photography and film came into the fold, I mean, that was like the best possible tools for, you know, this our iconic agenda to move forward. And yeah, it's time that we can take that technology and really use it to our advantage, reclaim that, because it's at our fingertips.
Exactly. Take a page out of their playbook.
Yeah.
Take a page to our advantage.
Yeah. Learn from the archons and then screw the archons.
Yeah, it's true. Ridicule is always good too. I mean, a lot of the things of how they managed to overthrow, I mean, think about it, the whole academic world, even the way they managed to overthrow that and turn it into a completely different animal than what it used to be. And again, that was done really with, you know, look at the counterculture movements and that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, it was something that people were hungry for and they thought it was the right thing. And then at least from my perspective, you realize that, they're actually trying to steer it way deeper into the, you know, into the rabbit hole by using these movements, but they're using the energy of people, you know, tagging along and actually pushing for it as well. It's just so brilliant. It's clever, you know?
It is. Yeah. I mean, perfect example, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, he's like worshipped as the smartest person on the planet. And here he is pushing GMOs.
And he's on, and his show is on Fox.
Yeah. Mm.
And what else do you need to say?
And there's probably people
who's writing his checks. And he's also trying to disprove astrology completely. And, you know, it's like he's on that far science end of things. And
it comes back to the whole the two-party paradigm, you know, that it's there's each side, the left and the right, balances it out so that the people at the top of that pyramid that's been built can stay at the top of that pyramid. And that's why you have people like Jon Stewart, you know, and Stephen Colbert. And even though they have moments that I really appreciate from them on their shows, little segments that I've seen here and there, you know.
Yeah, but when Jon Stewart holds a note up to the camera that says 9/11 was an outside job,
yeah,
he's not helping anything.
Or when he has Tony Blair, a war criminal and a mass murderer on his show, and doesn't ask him one honest question, but instead has a laugh at him, then no, you're doing absolutely no good. In fact, you're propelling the problem, because what you are is a steam whistle. You're a steam whistle for the people on the left to blow off some steam and say, oh man, that feels good, and then go about and never dig deeper and learn further. Just like on the other end of the spectrum, you have you know, Bill O'Reilly, or I don't even know. I don't watch any of that stuff anymore these days. I don't really know who the big guy, what's his name? Hannity, I suppose. For the people on that side to, you know, to blow off steam. And meanwhile, both sides, you know, are being screwed to the exact same degree. But it's like they're cheering for their football team or something, right?
Yeah.
And so you have the same thing with Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, the science versus religion. It's just a two-party paradigm right there, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, it's incredibly subversive, and it certainly is steam vials. And I mean, I can't watch that stuff either anymore. Not that I really did. But nonetheless, but I even heard from people, younger people, actually, the majority of like where they actually get their news from is like the Daily Show and stuff like that. They don't even actually watch regular news anymore. But still, despite this being comedy, despite them making fun of everything and whatnot, that's where people get their worldview from. And again, that shows how important it is to be part of that and trying to fill that gap that exists between real life information and entertainment, you know?
Right. It's cognitive dissonance. I mean, you know, the commercials are television. The TV shows are just the gap between the advertisements.
Yeah.
So therefore, whatever the corporate run network wants to show, that's what's going to go across. I mean, they're going to put any messages out there that contradict or go against what the corporatocracy wants to put out there.
Yeah.
They're going to be prescription drugs and fast food and cars and all kinds of all that shit. That's the television.
USA, United States of Advertising.
And if what you're saying doesn't go along with that, then they're not going to give you money to be on the air. I mean, it's that simple. It doesn't take a genius to see that.
No.
Or maybe it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I think people are, as I said before, they inherently know it, but still at the same time they cling to it because it's not as good and as slick as that is, and that's why people keep crawling back to. Yeah. To the entertainment, you know,
and they have so much to deal in their own personal lives. They don't have time for anything else. They have to deal with their mortgage and their car payments, and their, you know, getting their kids to school on time, and all the other problems and dilemmas that people have that keep them from being able to really, you know, pay attention to what's really going on.
That's what's really going to make them, you know, look into what actually happened during World War II. You know, that's where they're going to spend their time. You know, so
yeah, exactly.
For the sake of accuracy, I'll do it. Damn it.
Yeah.
No, but it is what it is, right? This is the situation we're kind of, you know, faced with, and it is up to people who are, have the awareness of what is happening to do something about it. Those who have, and that's why, including everyone who's listening, who feel, you know, who know this kind of stuff, it's like, just, you know, dive in there, just do it, whatever it is. I mean, I mentioned this in another show a while back, but every single aspect of walk of life, why not just be there, either if it's as an example or bringing some kind of balance or sanity to the picture, or again, just do something completely new out of the blue of something which is just kind of speaks to your kind of creativity or whatnot, but it needs to be, more people need to be engaged in, you know, kind of what is happening, because if this is the ship and it's, you know, I know a lot of people sit around, they're just waiting for it to crash. Kind of what you said earlier, Benny, they do want to detach from it, just go out into the woods and say, ah, fuck it, that's it. I don't care anymore. I definitely understand that. But at the same time, it's such bad state that good people don't get in there and damn it, try to do something about it and change in whatever aspect they can, this ship is going to sink. And the question is how bad will what will the consequences of that be if we don't speak up and do anything about it, you know?
Right. And like I said, I mean, we can't hope to see the golden age in our lifetime. It's just impossible. But we can at least try to we can do all we can to nudge it in that direction, to keep pushing it towards a great awakening and pushing it towards a peaceful state and pushing it towards, you know, the end of this evil empire. We can do that in little ways. And it's we just can't, you know, expect it to be all cured.
Right. Yeah, that's what you have to
very
do
very soon.
You have to do
every slow process.
It is, and you have to do everything without expecting some instantaneous reward, some immediate reward. You have to just do it knowing that you're doing all that you can within your own means to reach for the place that you want to be and you want the world to be in. Because let's face it, every single thing about this world is backwards. Everything is.
Yeah.
And at the same time, most people, their heart is in the right place. You meet people and most people everywhere are good. It's just their brain's not in the right place.
But that being said, I think that there are rewards if you're really listening to, yeah, you know, the frequency around you. I do believe in synchronicity, and I know that for a fact. I mean, the reason why we keep doing Joy Camp is because these different doors keep opening up and we keep meeting new people. I mean, my life has improved so much, right, since I devoted myself to being into my own integrity, to really, you know, walking the talk. And I think that's the most rewarding thing. Like I know the most amazing people now. I've had the most amazing experiences now. I've been introduced to so much new information as a result of me saying, yes, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid of this anymore. I'm just going to trust my instincts and go for this. So I think that there are, shouldn't expect the rewards, but if you're, you know, if you're open-minded,
yep,
to what can happen as a result of you really, you know, utilizing your own integrity, then there are countless rewards. Most, the best rewards.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine what life would be like to not be, awake to what's going on. I think about that often, to put myself in the shoes of someone who knows absolutely none of this, and that scares me more than any nightmare I've ever had.
Yep.
Terrifying thought. So I'm happy to be where I'm at, even though it does feel at times that the world is a very depressing place, and sometimes I'll get very cynical about the future. I know that that's not really the deep-rooted feeling I have inside. I know it always boils back to the fact that the light will overcome the dark, and in order for that to happen, I got to play my part, and he's got to play his part, and you got to play your part. And when everyone's playing their part, then hopefully we'll be playing a pretty nice song together one day.
Yeah, doing what they're meant to do. I think I'm a big believer in that. That there's opportunities that arise, which if people would jump on them and do, you know, what they know they should do, really. But maybe they're scared, they're holding back, they don't dare to kind of take that risk because there's always risk involved. We would be in a better place, but we're so tied to the issues of security and safety, and we really don't dare to walk outside of the lines of the boundaries, you know. But if people are that or want to begin that process, I think it's really important what you said as well, Kevin, that it takes, you know, it takes patience, it takes thinking long term, just being consistent, and basically just keep going at it without expecting, you know, everything to just open up for you and unfurl right away. Although there are maybe some of those scenarios that have occurred, it's about, you know, kind of being there and doing it day after day, doing the work. That's what the work is right there. And eventually I think that the rewards for that will pay off, you know, so keep going at it, you know?
Yeah. And it is okay to have some balance, you know, I was saying on the break to you, is it just getting back from the river for a few days. You know, I always say the best part about living in Los Angeles is when you get to leave Los Angeles. And that's probably true for any city that anybody lives in. So it's good to sort of have that time to yourself to just recharge your batteries. And I find myself having to do that pretty often these days.
Yeah, it's a lot there to digest go into. But what are you guys looking at next year? What are some of the upcoming things you have in store, and what are some of the things you'd like to cover? I don't know how far out ahead you guys work. It takes the videos I work on, it takes so much time. It's just incredible how much time everything takes, specifically when you don't have a, you know, huge team working for you. And as soon as you get into the video aspect, which you guys know because you're doing that, you realize it's just an endless amount of time. And you guys do have kind of you know, effects, you know, to a certain degree. You set up, you know, the green screen and things like that. The lighting's got to be right. And it looks really good too, by the way. Some of the things looks really nicely done. I think I saw a photo the other day of you know, how it kind of looked in the, with the green screen and all that. And then, you know, the seeing the result of the Emmy Awards and all that was like, yeah, that looks good. You know, it's well done.
Yeah. That, and, you know, we just get better, you know, you just get better and better. The more that you do something, you know, like I said, I just learned, technically speaking, I just learned from all the mistakes, you know, one video, you do something and then I go to edit it and I think, okay, well, not, can't do that again. Cause that didn't work. And you just learn as you go, frankly. So I it's nice to hear that. And people tell us that, and some people accuse us of being shills because they say, look at the budget that this video had. And that's actually really flattering.
That's funny.
I don't mind those comments. But yeah, I guess immediately we have a little funny McDonald's commercial that we're going to be editing and putting out pretty soon. And the one I mentioned earlier. And then I think our next big project is putting together this sort of, we're aiming to do like a 20-minute Joy Camp show, an episode where instead of just, you know, coming up with an idea for a sketch, writing it, filming it, editing it, and releasing it, we're thinking it through and trying to connect 5 or 6 sketches together and, you know, pull out some type of, you know, Monty Python-esque type sketch show. And we're going to see where that takes us in conjunction with the short film. The short film took months to make. We put a lot of hard work into it. I think it's probably our best work yet. And that'll probably close out our year. And then meanwhile, we'll be making videos along the way. And I'll look back and think that this year was a really big year for us. We had some big YouTube videos, a short film, hopefully a show will get wrapped up. And then next year, we'll see what that brings us. I think it'll be even bigger.
And 100,000 more subscribers.
Yeah.
Why not, right? Jenna Marbles fan base.
Yeah, post our videos on Reddit. You know, it seems to be...
anybody who's Reddit savvy, go for it. Because we're not.
We're not at all.
Is that where the action is?
Apparently,
yeah.
There's a lot of traffic going through
there. We have some friends that have had some viral videos on Reddit.
And as far as like how far in advance we make our videos, one of the unfortunate yet great things about being quote unquote awake is that there is an endless supply of topics. Dive down that rabbit hole, and we can make videos for the rest of our lives with the stuff you learn. So we have so much we could cover. It's never ending, and there's always new stuff, obviously. So, you know, some of it's planned in advance and some of it we just come up with as it happens. So we'll definitely have a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah, I think now that I'm thinking about it, I'd like to attack the police state sometime soon, because that's something that's been on, I think, everyone's minds recently.
Oh, and we're gonna tackle Hitler.
And Hitler.
I want to see that. It's going to be great. Now, how quickly could you guys work, let's say, if you had a, you know, a bigger team or budget? Again, I'm just kind of in that what if kind of scenario. God damn it. My throat is like sore.
I had earlier.
It's contagious.
Yeah.
If we were able to put all of our free time into this, we would have, you know, we would increase our product tenfold. I mean, we're balancing it because we have to make money and we have to function and deal with debt and all kinds of shit. So if we were able to make this our full-time job, then we would have a lot more to do and we could work with a lot more people and we'd have a lot more, and we'd also wouldn't have to limit ourselves in our videos. Because one thing we always have to keep in mind when making something is, okay, where are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? You know, who can we get to work with us without having to spend any money? So it would open up everything for us.
Yeah. And that's what we've been working really hard to get to. And we're not there yet. We one tiptoe at a time, I think we get closer and closer, but we haven't had the angel and we haven't had, you know, we can't, like he said, we can't just do this full time because we still have to pay the rent, you know, for where we live and et cetera, et cetera. That's, everybody knows this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, right now we come up with an idea. Sometimes we'll come up with an idea, film it, write it in a day, film it in a day, and edit in a day. And then sometimes it takes a lot longer. Something like the Emmy video, the award shows take a little bit longer because there's a lot more editing involved in that and sort of preparation. But the goal is to get to a point to where we can do this all the time, around the clock, and just keep things coming left and right so that we can really make SNL look like the garbage that it is.
And to expand also the group, make it a network so we have a lot of people working together, not just as Joy Camp, but maybe having other groups that all work like on a channel, you know, like we're all doing
exactly.
it together.
Yeah, that's kind of why I brought that up earlier. Again, I don't want to, you know, impose anything or even if that's what you guys are interested in. But nonetheless, you know, like, why not? Like a well-rounded kind of, you know, entertainment network. That and I think that that's possible. It's something that could actually exist there. And whether that's, you know, funded by viewers or funded, you know, by advertisement, but maybe a little bit more reasonable type of advertisement or
all
something like that, right?
GMO-free advertising.
Exactly. Because, I mean, there needs to be one there. And that's why, again, I kind of harken back to that. If there are any, you know, people are listening who are like, you know, want to invest in something like this or they have a budget there or something. I mean, I even think that it could be, and why not then? Something you actually could make money on at the end of the day. It might be, an initial process, as it always is, to invest in it and see if it, you know, works or not. But nonetheless, I think that the time is ripe for something like that. And I think it would be really well received and popular. And so again, I go back to that idea. It have to be brave and courageous people who understand what's at stake. They understand the importance of it and they understand that they can actually, it could be something successful as well, you know? So why not? Right.
Absolutely. And if anybody out there is listening to this and you're feeling inspired, contact us. We're very open guys. We check all of our emails. I mean, we are responsive. We are willing to talk and see what we can come up with. Collaboration is the name of the game.
Yeah, we have not to this day had anyone come and say, hey, I have money I'd like, and do you guys have an idea for a movie? Because if that day happened, we would say, yeah, you know, let's talk. We haven't had that present it to us yet. So if you are someone out there that, like Benny said, is looking to do something like that, watch our videos and reach out to us. We're pretty easy to talk to. And you know, we're also smart and tactful, so we'll try to figure something out. But I think people are really hungry for this stuff, man. I think that it's not just the conspiracy world. It's outside of that. It's beyond that. People want to connect with something. They want to see something intelligent and smart. They don't want to feel stupid anymore. People are ready for it, I think. And you said in the email that you think that we're spearheading some of that process, and it's very flattering to hear that. And I'd like to see where we can take it.
We felt that all along. Yeah. We felt that this is, like I said, not only fun and a great outlet, but it's essential. It's essential. Laughter heals and it helps. And we're trying to take the bull by the horns. And if anybody wants to come along with us, you know, let's do it.
Right.
Very good. Yeah, exactly. It's about taking back that control and begin to, steer the dialogue of where things are going again, and not just kind of sit in a point where we're kind of passive. And although it's good to analyze the BS out there, right? At some point along the line, you have to realize that, okay, now it's time to create what they can sit and analyze, you know. We're always in a defensive position within, you know, any field that has to involve with truth or conspiracy, whatever you want to call it. It's always like we're watching it happen and then we're reacting to that. I think it's time to actually make it happen and start taking control over the dialogue of where culture needs to be. So I'm encouraged by that. Yeah.
And all the resources are at our fingertips. We have everything we need. We just need to come together and do it.
Yeah, the time is now. If we don't do it, who will, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, guys, is there anything else you guys want to leave us with? Anything else that you've been thinking about or whatnot? If not, please give us the details again where people know where to go. It's been great having you on. I want to say thank you to both of you, and let's do it again.
Yeah, well, it's Absolutely. A great pleasure for us, Henrik. We've been listening to you since before we started Joy Camp, and you know, people like you and Red Ice in general and all other folks who are doing the same thing are why we started doing what we're doing. It's inspiring. So thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Henrik. I appreciate it. I've said it earlier. I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. We could not do anything of what we do if it weren't for people like you and all the smart people out there that are way smarter than we are doing what they're doing. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right. Give us the details again about the website.
Yeah. www.thejoycamp.com, youtube.com/thejoycamp, facebook.com/thejoycamp, Twitter. How do you do it?
.com/thejoycamp.
I don't do Twitter, but you can do Twitter.
I think we have an Instagram account. I don't think we use it.
But hashtag photos that you think pertain to Joy Camp. We'll create a whole Joy Camp hashtag.
And we're pretty active on Facebook, I'd say. And I think it's connected to our Twitter. But if you want to communicate with us, Facebook is a great way. TheJoyCamp@gmail.com is our email. We'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. And Joy Camp, just Google it. You'll find us.
Right, guys. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Henrik.
Thanks, Henrik. Take care, man.
Well, great having you with us today. I hope you appreciate the things we're alluding to here, discussing, and of course the process of leading as opposed to being led. I think several coins can drop here. There are so many areas that are lacking input, as no one is producing stories, history, music, art, movies that has this dedication to truth as opposed to subversion. Well, thank you for listening today. We'll be back with Tom Goodridge, John DeNugent, Frank Salter, Matthew Tate, and many more. Thank you for your membership, and my thanks to the team as well. Have a great weekend. Take good care of yourself, and we will speak more in just a few days. Bye-bye.